Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
It's one of our favourite podcasts of the year, isn't it?
Some years this has been my favourite podcast.
Yeah. This is kind of like the Walking Dead of award shows, isn't it?
Yes. What does that mean?
It's the MTV Video Music Awards. Mm. We love doing the podcast. We don't necessarily love the videos, just as I don't necessarily love Walking Dead. But the podcasts are always amazing.
It's always fun to talk about. And it's really good because we talk so much about movies, we talk so much about TV shows every year. This is our chance to get stuck into the world of music through, because we're screen verdict. We're not ear verdict or whatever. We're not radio verdict. So we've, like, this is our chance because they're music videos to look at something on a screen and then give it a verdict.
It's all that pent-up opinion we have on musicians, and we just get to let it out once a year.
Yeah. And, boy, we've got a few big ones in the line this year. A few that we've seen before pop into our MTV Video Music Awards. And should we just kick things off?
Yeah, for those that don't know, although I'm sure you all do, sure you're all long-time Screen Burning fans, what we're going to be doing is we're going to, through the magic of technology, travel through time, watch a music video, come back in an instant, and give our opinion, our rating, on each one of the nominated films for Best Video of the Year, and we're going to give each a score out of 5 for a combined score out of 10, and the video with the highest vote, we vote for.
So we are able to watch this music video as far as, as you're listening to this now, in 1 second or 2 seconds, we watch the whole music video, because we haven't seen the, we're talking now, we haven't seen the music video.
I'm going into this blind.
Yeah, I've seen maybe one or two of them, I think I've seen two of them maybe already, but
on the pulse, Matt's on the pulse of popular culture.
Oh yeah, yes. So, yeah, but I'd advise you, if you're at a computer, or if you're like somewhere where you're able to, you can pause it when we go into the time machine, and you can then watch the music video, then come back to the podcast and hear us break it down.
Yeah. Be the first time anyone's ever stopped listening to a Screen Burning podcast.
Yes, midway, yeah.
But in this case, we endorse
it. Yeah, it's fun. So, just remember to come back. Don't have your YouTube on auto. You know, they've got that it now automatically just plays more videos. After.
4 hours later, you're watching the world's strongest kitten.
Yeah, yes. So, do you know the first video that's nominated? I do, so it's okay if you don't. Just say yes if you do, or no.
No.
Well, it's a favourite of mine. Taylor Swift is back in the mix.
T-Sway.
Love Taylor Swift with her music video Bad Blood featuring Kendrick Lamar. Hmm. Do you want to get in the time machine? We're back, and what a music video.
Bad Blood. Oh, my goodness.
Hmm.
Nearly gave me a heart attack. Starts on it, just an office. You're like, oh, okay, people are going to be doing some bang!
Yeah.
The little crash lands on the table.
Massive fight.
Taylor Swift just kicking butts.
Yeah, so this music video starts in a business office, a corporate setting. It seems like it's night. No one's in the office. I think maybe a cleaner's going to come in. Maybe it's going to be about the story of a cleaner in an office. But no.
It starts dancing. The world's best dancer, but nobody knows it.
Yeah, that would be a bad idea for a music video. Like, wouldn't it? Yeah. Then it ends with everyone coming into work the next day, just thinking he's an ordinary cleaner. But, yeah. But no. Fight breaks out, as you said, bam on the table, and it's Taylor Swift, it looks like, fighting blindfolded businessmen.
There is that a metaphor? Businessmen are so blind, they can't see what's around them because they're so focused on
the money.
On the money.
The money, they can't see what's... Yeah, yeah, maybe that's it, yeah. Maybe she doesn't like Spotify, she's not going on Spotify, corporate conglomeration, or so, I don't know. So, yeah, so maybe an anti-corporate message. Someone else is in on the fight. Someone famous, I think. Is that Selena Gomez?
I didn't know who it was. There was a lot of famous cameos.
It's a lot. Now, Taylor Swift's probably listening to our podcast.
I would assume so.
Because she remembers our favourite music video of all time in these awards was Beastie Boys Make Some Noise. And one of the reasons was the cameos that they got in that. It was a cameo-heavy music video. And I think Happy won last year for us too, which was also a cameo-heavy music video. So the cameos go well with the Scream Verdict listeners.
Yeah, we had Lena Dunham.
Yeah.
We had Mariska Hargitay, Ellen Pompeo.
Mm.
Was it Cindy Crawford?
Mm.
Had a whole host of people.
Yeah. Cameo City. So, yeah, so she's fighting, I think, Selena Gomez? I think that's the person she's fighting. Anyway, some cameo probably bodes less well for the cameos if we're struggling to know who they are. Like, the Beastie Boys one, it was like, there's Ted Danson! There's Will Arnett! There's Rainn Wilson! But anyway, kicks her out the window, and she has quite the fall.
Well, wow, okay. The fight scenes in this were pretty epic. I wouldn't have thought that Taylor Swift was much of a fighter, but, I mean, she was throwing down some moves. I've been training jiu-jitsu for quite a number of years, and there was a little bit of grappling in that.
So you're impressed.
There was a bit of a shoulder lock, a bit of a arm break.
Mm.
It's pretty badass. Do you think you could beat Taylor Swift in a fight after seeing this video?
Probably not.
I feel like if I came at Taylor Swift in those exact choreographed movements,
yeah,
I would probably lose the fight.
Mm.
But if I did anything else, I'd probably be able to win.
Yes. Yeah. So, a lot of fighting in this video. Fighting heavy. She does well against the businessman, but gets kicked out the window. She lands on a car. And then we cut to Lena Dunham, sitting at a desk smoking a cigar.
Mm. See, the problem I think I have with us taking notes on a music video is that we end up recounting the entire music video. Seeing as Lena Dunham's probably in it for, what, 2 seconds?
But I think, like,
are we going to analyse that 2 seconds of the music video?
I just think it's important to, like, understand the story that the music video is trying to tell.
Well, I think that brings us to the point, but perhaps that's the question, is there a story that this video is trying to tell?
Well, I think so. I think Lena Dunham is the boss of the businessman, right? She's set up a company. Girls is finished. It's set a little bit into the future. And she's now running a company of blindfolded businessmen that Taylor Swift wants to fight.
I didn't get the story at all. It just seemed like there's a bunch of stuff exploding, people fighting. There's a lot of names. We learn that someone's called Lucio or Justice or Mother Clucker or Cutthroat.
Yeah, I wrote down some of these names. Mother Cutter, I think. Cutthroat, Frostbite. Seems like everyone's got a sort of interesting name. And the way they communicate this to us in the music video is by just putting it up on the screen when that character enters. Which is quite interesting considering each character's on the music video for like 2 seconds. You wouldn't think they'd need a name.
Yeah, normally that just
yeah.
gives an... you get the name of someone that you're then going to get to know. But all we get to know about any of these people
is
their
the
name.
So it seems like... I think the creative meeting about this music video was a lot of brainstorming of sort of cool-sounding names for fighters. And this is actually a problem with the music video. None of them are that great. But it's a very big part of the music video.
Well, I thought when some of them were supposed to be funny, like Mother Cutter or whatever it was, you know, that's a joke. But if someone's called, I don't know, what was it, like Cleo or something, like, who cares? What do we get from that?
What do you think came first, the names or the settings? Like, so Frostbite, for instance, is just this girl in this sort of this snow chamber of this fighting, training, underground lair, and Taylor Swift sort of like does a bit of training with her or fighting with her. Do you reckon someone in the meeting is like, Frostbite, that's a cool name. We've got to put some snow now in this music video so we can call someone Frostbite? Or do you think it was, so we've got someone fighting in the snow chamber. What should we call them? So it's, oh, Frostbite. But Y instead of I for bite looks cooler.
I think how they came up with the names is they just logged onto World of Warcraft, and any female character that they encounter, they just took the username from.
Yeah, probably.
And then worked it into a music video.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's probably,
it's probably
the names of all the writers. All the writers for this, whatever username they use for online gaming,
mm.
that's probably what the names were.
Where I think this music video does well is for interest. There are some interesting things in there to pique my curiosity and the asking questions. I like when a music video throws... I was a big fan of Katy Perry's Wide Awake. mm. when we looked at that, because there are a lot of interesting things going on that makes you think, oh, what was happening there? And I think with this one, there are a few things. Like, one of the people that's, like, getting out one of her weapons in the fighting training area has a little pug dog sitting next to her. I'm going, oh, wonder why she brought her dog along to the fight. You know, one area...
An inquisitive mind.
Yeah. In one of them, they're throwing weapons at a teddy bear. I go, why do they bring a teddy bear along? But, like, there seem, like, interesting things to be bringing to the fighting training, like, weapon zone. Like, teddy bears and pug dogs and things.
Wasn't like Katniss was at the Hunger Games where they were, you know, showing off to the potential sponsors and they're like,
yeah.
Hit this teddy bear with your bow and arrow.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was pretty interesting. We see a lot of different weapons. It seems like they enjoyed the visual effects guys. They enjoyed getting to play around with some weapons. And then I guess it just ends with Taylor Swift and the people she's been training with all walking in front of a massive explosion, fire behind them. Looks pretty cool. And then fireworks start going off behind them too. Seems like, you know, a bit of distraction and celebration happening at once. They all line up against Taylor Swift's rivals.
Mm.
There's also random...
I guess there's bad blood between them.
Mm. Yeah. Apparently, this is based off a few Taylor Swift, Katy Perry.
Taylor Swift have?
Yeah, and apparently they just... Katy Perry stole a backup dancer or something. Like, I feel like Taylor Swift's veering a little bit away from the relatable, there's a guy I like, he doesn't like me back, to sort of... She stole my backup dancer for a world tour. Like, not many teenage girls or even, like, young adult males can relate to that.
Not to demean the humanity of a backup dancer.
Yeah.
But who cares?
Yeah. Like, sometimes with songs, even if you think it's a little bit immature, you're invested a little bit. Like, it's something somewhat relatable. Your heart's being broken. Someone's been a bit of a douche. A guy's been... You've gone out with someone who's a douchebag. We can relate to that. The backup dancer care a bit less about. But then again, maybe that's not what it's about. Man. It's just the internet rumours. Last point. I think there were a couple of random things that went on here that unexplained. And I'm not talking about a pug dog in a fighting zone. I'm talking about just... For some reason, just all of a sudden, she's a boxer. For some reason, all of a sudden, she's a motorbike rider. I don't... Like, that seemed a bit disjointed.
Many skills of Taylor Swift.
Yep. Are you ready to give this one a score?
I liked it because it was fast-paced. I thought the production value was really good. Some good fighting, good explosions. It was visually entertaining, but it wasn't... It didn't really make a lot of sense. There wasn't really much of a story. But I thought the name things was only funny for a couple of the names. So that didn't really work. But overall, didn't hate it. 3 out of 5.
Yeah. I love Taylor Swift. She looks great in this music video, as always. So that's good. That's good. And but yeah, I feel like this is a harder song of hers to relate to for me. I wasn't really connecting with the themes presented. I guess we've all had bad blood with someone. I guess can relate there. I think there was some. It looked good. The fight sequences were good. Good production values. I liked a few of the fun little random things in there, like the teddy bear and the pug dog. But I think too much effort on the names, not enough effort on the story.
Mm.
I think the names didn't really work, and it seems like that was probably 90% of the creativity production planning of the video. I think they probably spent 10 hours talking about all the creative funny names that weren't even that good at the end. And spend about 10 minutes talking about what the story of the music video was. And I think you need to focus on story when you're doing a music video. So I'll give it a 2.5 out of 5.
2.5. All right. We'll have the interns add that up later.
Yeah, I'll just write them down.
Okay, Matt, what is the second video nominated?
Not prepared for that question, although I should be, so not. The second one nominated is, Ed Sheeran, pretty cool guy. My sister went to an Ed Sheeran concert earlier this year. She's won tickets to another one, so I know my sister's a big fan. Thinking Out Loud. Let's listen to it out loud. Well, listen, the music video's good. Let's go to the time machine.
Mew, 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 mew.
Juke, juke, juke. Okay.
It's a different time machine each time.
Yeah, no, I know. The OK was not at the time machine. It was at the music video.
OK.
Thinking out loud, what is it about?
See, I'd seen an Ed Sheeran music video the past year where he's partying with puppets in a limo. And I thought that's what we'd be watching. So it's like...
Are you implying that comparatively less happened in this music video?
So there really isn't much to talk about in this one. So Ed Sheeran and a girl approach each other in a room and dance, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so it's ballroom, she's all dressed up. He's kind of dressed up, but probably not to the same level.
Yeah.
And then they just ballroom dance for four and a half minutes.
That's it, yeah. So, let's try to unpack things in here that were going on, because, like, the dancing's very good. Like, let's get that out. It's a good dance. I could not dance this well.
I think the dancing was a little bit of an illusion. I feel like he just sort of stood there
yeah.
and did a kind of few easy movements that were well-timed, but still need some rehearsal. But she then just danced around him doing all the crazy professional stuff. And it made it seem like a great dance pair, but really,
it was
all
her doing the heavy lifting, which is ironic, because he was the one who lifted her. which is interesting, because this is actually harder than my peer, because I, as a listener of the podcast, though, have had a bit of experience with dancing. I've been to two dance classes. And it's actually the guy that's expected to lead, right? So it's actually very hard when you're dancing with a woman or a girl who's much better at dancing than you. Because you have to appear like you are elite, like they're not just dragging you around. So at least Ed Sheeran, like, didn't look out of control at any point. So at least he's able to let her do the work, but made it look like he was sort of comfortable with her being a better dancer than him.
The best thing that Ed Sheeran did was time some of his movements to the lyrics. Because sometimes music videos have no real relation to the song. They can be entertaining, but you're wondering, what's the link? Why did you choose this to be the music video?
Yeah.
This, I guess, you know, ballroom dancing is often expressing feelings between two partners, and he tied in some things like he strummed her leg when the song said something about strumming.
Oh, no, I liked it.
He pumped on his heart when it said heartbeat,
straightened
his hair when he said something about running his hand through the hair. So, you know, it tied it in. Nice little touches to make you go, oh, yeah, look how well they've written and rehearsed this.
Yes. It's an empty room. They're not doing this for a competition. They're not doing this in front of judges. They're a
There's no parlay on the line.
No, there's no parlay on the line. So the stakes are pretty low. Like, there's nothing... It's not a high-pressure situation. One of them made a mistake. It'd probably just be a bit amusing, something they both laugh about together. It'd actually be maybe a nice, sweet moment. It would actually maybe improve the music video if one of them made a mistake. It would be, that was unexpected, and what a nice endearing thing to happen for their relationship. So, the chairs are on the tables. There still seems someone operating all the lights at the venue, though, because it is a very well lit, and the lights seem to, like, move, turn on and off based on what's going to dramatically be best for that dance.
Look, Ed Sheeran, I could get any girl I wanted if I was able to hire out an entire ballroom, then pay someone to do the lighting while I dance with my girl.
Yeah.
This isn't relatable.
Yeah, so again, not even the relatability. And sure, there's a common theme with these out-of-touch celebrities which just have a ridiculous amount of money. What else have I written down here? Oh, a few times the lights look like they've formed a heart. Which I think, does this mean they're in love? Because I've danced with my friend Kirsten. We're not in love with each other, okay? And when we dance together, I'm not picking up or sending out any of the in-love vibes. A guy and a girl can just dance with each other because it's a competition, because they both have a love, not maybe for each other. Although I'd like to say I do love all my friends as friends. Like, I don't know, like, I don't love my friends, but not because they're in love with each other, but because they're in love with dancing. Do you feel this couple was in love with dance or each other?
I think they were supposed to be in love with each other.
I think so.
I think it kind of worked. I mean, clearly that was just a professional dancer that they got for the video.
Well, okay, yeah. We know how casting works with things. Like, when we watch Silver Linings Playbook, we know that Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper are just
a lot of movies together.
Okay. Maybe that was not a great example, since they seem to just pick movies that the other one's attached to. But, you know, we know when we see a great romantic comedy, there's just two professional actors that are doing a job. But in this, do we feel some chemistry between the two that goes beyond the dance?
Yeah, I think it worked. Okay.
Yeah. Great. So, just two people loved each other. They're dancing in a ballroom. They do moves. That's it. The dance quite good. There's a few quite interesting, like where they're lying down next to each other. I got the sense they're clearly going to be having sex as soon as I feel like this was a bit of foreplay. This was the prelude to there's no one else in the room.
Gary, cut the lights. Yeah. Reel in the mattress.
Yeah. Yes. You know, like, Andrew is going to try to, as soon as we finish dancing, you're getting out of there, Gary. Because they're in a private room. There's no one else in there. This is the perfect opportunity for sex. So, anyway, what verdict are we giving this?
It was nice, but it was a bit long. Maybe that's Dancing with the Stars' fault. It's probably my only exposure to ballroom dancing.
Yeah, it did have a Dancing with the Stars.
And they probably dance, I know, they probably get 90 seconds each. Yeah, reality TV is giving me ADD. 4 minutes of ballroom dancing was too long. It was quite average, so I'm going to give an average score of 2.5 out of 5.
Yeah, here's my problem. I feel like, firstly, it felt like Dancing with the Stars, but without the stakes of a reality competition on the line, and it was longer. And it's a bigger celebrity than they get on Dancing with the Stars. But, yeah, it was good dancing, though. But I don't know, I feel like people can get a song like that, and you go to a ballroom dancing competition, you watch people do a 4 minute ballroom dance to a song like that. I want something else from my music videos, not just to watch a good dance for 4 minutes. There was no story. I didn't quite get their relationship, have any sort of empathy, like connection with them as a couple. I'm going to give this a 1.
Whoa, yeah. A 1. Okay.
What did you give it again?
2.5. Okay, 2 down. What's third in the lineup?
It is. We're going back to someone we've already seen today, I think. I hope you're all right with Kendrick Lamar, because we're going to be listening to Kendrick Lamar's All Right. And a bit out of touch, maybe. With this one, I feel like any inability I have to relate to it doesn't say talk to Kendrick Lamar being out of touch, but more it speaks to an experience that I haven't experienced.
Yeah. So this is very topical, very political. I guess referring to there's been a number of shootings recently, perhaps going back further as well, by policemen, white policemen shooting black civilians.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's a tough thing to talk about, and Kendrick's just attacked it head on.
Yes. As podcasters who don't like to get political on the podcast, not great for us. Not great for the
less
podcast. Less
to laugh about.
Yeah, less to laugh about.
In this particular video. But let's try and unpack it anyway.
Because it's an important video, and it's got some pretty interesting themes and approaches, and I think there are a few little interesting things that pop up here.
Mm.
It opens very heavy, the music video. There is black and white, a lot of slow shots, and I knew we were heading for trouble when I saw a shot of some shoes on a clothesline, because from what I understand growing up, that means a drug deal's going down. You see some shoes hanging on a clothesline, that's the sign, the pickup's good. Did you know that?
I heard that, yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I feel like either the neighborhood bully has just thrown your shoes over the telephone line so you can't get them, or it's a drug deal.
Well, one regardless, trouble's gone down.
Trouble is brewing.
But then we see a lot of black and white cutaway shots. That delves into more police abuse sort of thing. We have a narration about being conflicted, about people abusing power. And it sort of ends that section with a policeman shooting a black man.
Yeah, that was pretty heavy. Obviously, I think the black and white, talking about the black and white issues, cop, you know, this is something that's real, that's happening. And then I guess the music video is Kendrick's and the community's reaction to that.
Yes.
And, you know, I think it starts off in sort of like a kind of a positive way. They're dancing in the car, you know.
So we have this very heavy opening, like prelude, and then it sort of lightens up a bit. It's a bit more fun.
And all the guys are bouncing in the car, and then you see that the car is actually being carried by some policemen. So, oh, this is good. They're on top. Right, we're not a fan.
Or are they unaware that the police are in control? That's how I took it. They're having a good time. They think things are going well, but actually, where they go is completely controlled by the police.
Well, there are some other good things that maybe seem more positive. He seems to be able to fly. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And
this ability of flight he is using to balance on various lamp stands and traffic lights and intersections and, yeah.
So he's on top of the world. And, you know, the hook is we're going to be all right. So, you know, hopefully a positive spin on, because, you know, there's a couple of different ways to react, and I'm not, you know, and people are entitled to different ways, but, you know, I think the fact that he's trying to be positive, saying we're going to be all right, I thought that was a good thing.
Hope. A message of hope, perhaps, in the midst of this bad thing. Yeah. Then it ends, I guess. It's sort of like, do you want to talk about the ending yet?
Yeah, so it seems like things may be a bit better. He's on top of the lamp, and then
overlooking LA, I think.
Very nice. And then a cop comes out, and rather than the gun that he brought out the first time, maybe because that would be too... I don't know, maybe too much. But he pulls out his fingers. Or maybe it's a comment about how people were able to get away with it. Didn't actually... I mean, you can't get arrested for shooting someone with your fingers. But anyway, he pulls out his fingers.
But your fingerprints would still be on the gun.
Wouldn't they? I wonder if you shoot a bullet out of your fingers.
Well, but they're on the fingertips.
We'll leave the science of that for another day. But he shoots him and, you know, appears like he gets hit by a real bullet.
You see some blood come out of his back, don't you? Like, so I thought that was a very... cool-looking shot. I think that was a very well... How you don't use a real gun or a real... You know, but... Yeah, I really like that.
And he falls to the down and... He falls down to the ground and, you know, he's repeating, I think, the bit from earlier. And he hits the ground and you'd think that would be... that would be the end for Kendrick. But we're left with a little smile.
So still that... So I think, like... It's almost like, things are bad, but let's have hope. Oh, wait, actually things are pretty bad. Like, because the guy who was singing about everything's going to be all right gets shot in a very interesting way with the finger gun and stuff. And he goes about that narration about abusing power. And I thought it's quite interesting. He sort of said something like, you know, like, you're abusing your position of power. I've done that in the past too. Like, he's trying to sort of understand that this is a human problem. Not excuse it at all, but like sort of, but then you have a little smile of hope in the end. Maybe going back to that message of hope. I don't know. I don't know exactly what Kendrick's trying to say here, but I don't mind that I don't know exactly what he's trying to say here. I think it's some interesting themes addressed in an interesting way. As a music video, I think it was a little muddled to a degree. I feel like it did bounce a bit. I feel like the beginning was a bit too heavy, and I think that took the weight off the end. Like, I think it would have been better. Maybe. Don't want to tell Kendrick how to tell his story here, but maybe I do because I am. I think open with just some of those cutaway shots, not the shooting, with the sort of narration about abuse of power and things. Then you cut to the more fun dancing message of hope with the police carrying the car. You start to introduce these police theme elements out there, this sort of conflict, and then at the end you have the very heavy shooting of Kendrick. I mean, we'd already seen someone shot earlier. It took the impact a bit away from the shooting later.
My guess would be that the reason for that was because he wanted it to have some hope, because the song is "We're Gonna Be Alright." So
you need
something.
You
want the heavier beginning than a heavy ending.
Okay, interesting. That's fair enough.
What's your verdict?
I think the black and white's great. I think it's shot really well. I think this is an important thing to be talking about. As a music video, I think it chopped from thing to thing a bit too much. I don't think it stayed focused as well. Just as someone watching a thing for a story and things, I felt it was a little muddled. And I didn't prep. Yeah, I don't know. It's a very hard one for me to give a score to. Because, like, an issue to raise in a music video, some of the things he touches on are a 5. But some of the elements they give, like, a 1-2. Because it just, like, it all of a sudden cuts to something that, like, I think, like, distracts me a bit. So I give it 2.5.
2.5. There you go. Well, far be it from me to say what hip-hop should be about. But personally, I like the money, money, girls, girls type hip-hop less than, you know, things that are talking about perhaps more importance. And I think this is a really important thing to be talking about, and I think it was done really well. And I think it was visually interesting. I agree it was a bit muddled. I didn't understand all the things in the middle, but I think it looked good. Definitely held my interest and had a strong start and finish. So I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5.
Okay. Very good.
All right, we're on the home stretch. 2 to go.
Oh, I know how much we like our Slurpees, so this could be a good song. It's 7-Eleven by Beyoncé, who is, like, a notorious nominee. She is in here every year, Beyoncé. They love her, yeah.
A lot.
Well, she did have one of the best music videos of all time, so I once said. So we'll cut to Beyoncé now. Let's get in that time machine. Well, what do we have here, Jonathan, from Beyoncé? We don't get her going to get Slurpees from the set. Where I thought we were going when I read the name of the song.
I was really hoping for a discount code.
Yeah.
I was super stoked for savings.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what we hear is just an absolutely disastrous attempt to be trendy. The entire thing is shot presumably with an iPhone or on a camera and then edited to make it have the appearance of being an iPhone. So, ooh, look, modern technology.
So we talk about the production meeting and this idea of names. Do we think the production meeting for this music video, the word viral, may have come up on numerous occasions?
It just smacked of desperation in order to, you know, appeal to things that are cool. Right, she's wearing a jersey that says kale on it. Everybody's all about kale.
Oh, okay. You really picked up some of these words that were on there. Okay, yep. Good. Continue.
She's doing a bunch of yoga poses. I don't know, like, yoga's cool. I don't mean against yoga. I just have something against yoga. People that are into yoga because it's so hot right now. Which it fell. She was using a selfie stick.
Yeah, I wrote down selfie stick ? on my notes as well.
Last year I mentioned that her music video, it was her dancing on the beach, and it kind of looked like how she would just be dancing if she was just messing around at home.
Mm.
Obviously, she thought that
she
was a
listened
compliment.
To us.
She thought that was a compliment. When listening to the podcast.
Well, we did say, why would someone do a music video dancing while they're at home on the beach? We did question that. We said, why isn't she just at home? Very next year, she does pretty much a very similar sort of thing at home. It's not quite what we were going at with our advice. That's not quite what we were pitching for.
Just her on a porch in the bedroom.
So we have Beyoncé.
Get the friends in.
So we have Beyoncé on the balcony. We had her in the kitchen. We had her in the bedroom. We had her in the bathroom. We didn't have her in the kitchen. Sorry, I had a room. I was getting confused with Cluedo. All the different rooms we saw her in.
Yeah, I think this might have been like a hotel or something, possibly an apartment block, because we saw her in the hallway at some point.
Yes. She's wearing, for most of the shot, she's wearing a sweater and panties. That seems to be the outfit of choice for Beyoncé when she's at home. Very interesting choice, because something very warm on the top half and something very cold on the bottom half. I didn't get much of a sense of what temperature it was on her balcony or in the house.
I mean, I guess that was supposed to be, you know, she's not all dressed up in a fancy dress and, like, makeup and stuff, and she's trying to be relatable, just like, oh, just partying with my friends, being goofy, haha, wearing 2005 Christmas on New Year's glasses.
Yeah. Then we'll have the scene where she just jumps out of a Christmas box, a Christmas present.
Surprise!
In front of one of the most elaborately large Christmas trees I've ever seen. Like, the whole rest of the video is so just ordinary person's apartment. And then we've got the most lavish Christmas setup. It sort of was very confusing to me what they were going for there.
It did. It bounced between trying to be very, you know, relatable and it's like, oh, I'm so normal. I'm not always, you know, dressed up in. I'm just hanging out at home, goofing around with my friends just like you
just
do.
Dropping dice on their naked backs, as people do.
But then it went too far into things. It was just like it was almost a parody of like a college party movie, you know, one of those movies that you'll see in the discount store that never hits the theaters. You're like, oh, Crazy Teen Party 2012.
Yeah. We see, when she's going around with the selfie stick, we see one guy walking around in a mirror. So there's a pretty much female. You thought she just invited all her girlfriends around, but there was some guy hanging around. Maybe it was Jay-Z, I'm not sure. What else have I written down here for this one? Drops the dice on the girl's back. She spills a drink. There was some. You said you're Ed Sheeran. You liked him matching up things in the dance with things in the song. She did that a bit when she talks about not spilling her drink. She sort of pretends to spill her drink. When she talks about rolling the dice, she drops the dice on the girl's back or puts dice in her mouth. So, and she sort of claps with the beats quite a bit, or the cuts to the beats. So she matches it up with the lyrics a bit. You must have. Loved that.
Hated it.
Okay, what about the stuff she does with her butt? Like, isn't that just does weird muscle movements with her butt in the bathroom. Did that seem like a... Like, that's really struck me as something where they're just trying to be viral or trying to sort of get people talking, because obviously Beyoncé's ass is quite... well talked about anyway, and just here's something I can do with it. Seemed a bit almost like, let's say there's a party trick I had that was a really cool party trick. I do something with my finger, and we're making a music video, and we're like, oh, we've got to get that in. We've got to get that because people want to see that trick with my finger because it's so cool. Not many people can do that with their finger.
It sort of bounced between trying to be funny and normal and just, you know, down home people, goofy, I'm just like you, too. Oh, yeah, I'm balling out. I'm fresher than you. Money, money, money.
Yeah.
Like, bad rap video. It was almost as if it was trying to be ironic, but it wasn't.
Yeah. So, what verdict are you giving this?
It failed on all levels. I'll give it a point because I didn't leave. I made it to the end. 1 out of 5.
That's a weak reason to give something a 1. Like, you wouldn't... I wouldn't have let you left. Like, you wouldn't, like, we're doing a podcast on this. You have to watch it all so we can talk about it. I didn't leave in Twilight. It was the worst movie I've ever seen. Like,
you fell asleep. This is really much
yeah, okay. So, right now, so a 1. I've also seen movies I've liked. So you're giving it a 1. I'm going to give it half a mark.
Half a point.
Yeah.
What's the half for?
I feel like
that's a weak reason to give half a point.
Okay, yeah. here's my reading the half. I feel like when we've been doing these, there's been a music video of Hated More.
There's one to go. There could be a 0 to come.
I feel like year one, there was one that I just hated that I gave like a 0 to. And I feel like I enjoyed this one a bit more than that. I can't remember what that one was, though.
We want to leave a bar for something to get under.
Yeah, okay. So...
Okay, well, what is the last video?
This is one... I've actually seen this one before. Is this one and the Taylor Swift one I've seen before. These other three, I had no idea what they were. And it's Sharon, we've already done that one. It's a pretty, you have definitely heard this song, anyone listening to this, probably at least 10 times each. It is Uptown Funk from Bruno Mars and Mark Robson. Oh. I think it's actually Mark Robson featuring Bruno Mars. Maybe
no,
they did the
music. Definitely Bruno Mars's.
Well, actually, the song was a Mark Robson. Anyway, we can get into that later.
Well, it's definitely not Mark Robson because it's something Mark Robson.
Okay, sure, whatever. Okay, let's get into the topic. We're back. There we go.
Bruno Mars. You mentioned that Beyonce was a staple. I think Bruno Mars,
yeah,
you know, at least three of these that we've done.
And it's interesting, these staples, the thing you learn about them, like, you know, Katy Perry used to be a bit of staples, and now she's on the outs a bit at the moment, maybe that stealing Taylor Swift's backup dancers and ramifications in the industry. But with Katy Perry, like, we learned that, you know, she likes things coming out of her breasts. That's something that she personally gets a kick out of. So it's maybe a bit of a turn on for her. With Beyonce, with, like, she likes to dance around like she's just in her house, wherever she is, whether it's in her house or the beach. And Bruno Mars was saying a lot of, and I feel like watching this music video, I feel like I've learnt something about him.
Well, the thing, I'm not sure what you learnt. The thing I've learnt most probably about Bruno Mars is that he's grown.
Okay. Oh, okay, let's hear this.
The first music video I saw, I can't remember the name of the song, but it was very, oh, about his words, and he's pushing piano along train tracks, and it's so serious and pretentious.
Yeah.
Blah. Last one, I can't remember, was something about heaven, dancing.
Locked out of heaven.
Yeah. So that was a little bit more fun.
Party, bit of a party.
It was, yeah, party, but I think we were still supposed to be...
Well, it's about being locked out of heaven. So it was sort of, again, like, not great, is it? Like, a bit of a...
Mm.
He's making the most of it, but he's still feeling like he's...
There was some
out.
Dancing was fun, but it was still kind of serious, you know.
He felt he was missing out on something.
Well, it didn't put me in the best mood. Now, Bruno Mars, he's bringing the funk, he's bringing the hype, he's dancing, he makes me want to dance.
Yeah.
What a change.
This song has been overplayed for sure, but I do really enjoy this.
Yeah.
But I do actually quite like this. It does make you want to dance a bit. Like, it is a fun song, and probably my favourite song of the five, actually. Now...
What did you learn?
Okay, this is what I've learned. Well, I think you're right, he's grown in attitude.
Mm.
But he still a bit doesn't know how to approach girls. I feel like that's what I've learned. He doesn't really know, like, how to get a girl to go out with him. First one we saw, pushing the piano, girly light, going out with someone else. I think that ruined his self-esteem. I think that's shaken him. Because at the party, he's singing about being locked out of heaven, right? He's singing like, oh, there's all these girls, I'm at a party, I'm having fun, but I still feel like I'm missing out. And what does he do? He just goes and hangs out with all his guy friends for the rest of the music video.
Mm.
This one, we see cute girl walks past Bruno Mars, checking her out. He likes what he sees. So he sort of just whistles at her. Just
sings out.
And then,
yeah, girl,
yeah,
I'll punk you up.
Well, sort of, but she just walks past. Like, so then he just spends the whole rest of the music video hanging out with all his guy friends again.
He's like, yeah, I got
them.
It. Good to guys.
Yeah.
See,
he doesn't
me,
go up and have
a, sing at her.
He doesn't go up and sing to her. He goes and does some dancing with his mates. And then as other cute girls walk past, they sort of like whistle at the go, like make noises. But they don't actually go talk with them. They don't actually go sing to them. He's just sort of like, rather than approaching, having conversations, having songs or dances with the girls, he's still hanging out with all his guy friends. Going around in limos with them, working out choreography, doing dancing with them. It's still very much, if you want the girl, you can't spend all your time with your mates.
I don't think you understand how swag works.
Yeah.
Okay. Swag is not having success with girls. It's talking with your mates about your success with girls.
Because I think Bruno Mars, He's a cute guy. He's a hot guy. He's got some great dance moves. This is a real catch. But he's spending all his music videos with all his guy friends.
But maybe that's more relatable to the average Man,
maybe. Yeah, we've been talking about unrelatability. This
if he's
is very
getting
relatable.
With all these girls. People are going to be like, "Well, yeah, I'm no Bruno Mars." But if you're seeing him just hanging out with his
yeah.
mates, well, I can relate to hanging out with mates.
That's a good point. I take that. Matt Robson or Robson, whatever.
What's his name? What's his name?
Ronson.
Matt Ronson.
The ones you didn't include the M.
Okay.
Matt Ronson gets in on the act. Doesn't sing at all, but chills with them.
Yeah, I mean, well, as the lone white guy, he hangs in there. He does his part.
I think he's fun. I think he's like he's on the phone. He's getting his shoes polished. I think Matt Ronson actually adds quite a bit to the music video.
Mm.
Fun vibes. It's a fun, like, as much as they don't go to the girl and there's not the love story in there, it's a fun, funny, entertaining music video. There's good dance moves. It doesn't take itself, like, I think Ed Sheeran, we see some good dance moves, but it takes itself a bit too seriously. This doesn't. There's some winks, there's some, like, nods, there's some cheeky edits, there's some fun things, like, they're all getting their hair curled at the hairdressers, like, you're getting shoes shined and stuff. It's a fun music video.
Yeah, I think it struck a really good balance of, you know, actually being entertaining with good dance moves, but also being kind of goofy and very tongue-in-cheek, very self-aware. Mm. I thought the hair curl thing was very funny. And, yeah, just really did a good job of entertaining you.
A limo was a good scene.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they end in a big band. And who doesn't love a big band with, like, trombones and stuff like that, trumpets and stuff?
I think that was just trying to sell you on the on Bruno Mars tickets, really. The end
yeah.
takes you to a club, you're like, oh, this is going to be like,
yeah.
you know, jazz. In, we got, we're just going to be bouncing around. Everyone's going to love this.
But
know.
It takes you something.
September 19th, be there.
But I think
$200 a ticket.
Yeah, someone who likes a story, I like that. They go from the street to the club. They go from dancing on the street to dancing with an audience. And I like that.
They don't get stage fright. They can maintain that level
yeah.
of entertainment on the stage.
Yeah. So they're on the street. They then go get their hair done. They get their shoes shined. They do a bit of practicing, and then they're ready for the big night. They get their limo. They're ready for the big night. I like it.
Yeah. The one thing that I noticed that was kind of strange
yeah.
was that they seem to bounce around certain time periods. Like, this, we're in 2015. They were dressed, I know it's kind of like 80s, 90s, like gold chains and stuff in those suits.
Mm.
Then a girl walks past who looks like she's kind of dressed in a fairly modern way.
Mm.
Then they're getting their shoes shined in this place that looks kind of 50s.
Yeah.
Then they're in like a disco club, which is sort of 70s, 80s, you know.
Mm.
Bruno Mars, you know. Great sense of humour and dancing. No sense of respect for the space-time continuum.
I didn't mind as much. It was fun. I think one of the earlier ones I was saying how I didn't like how it seemed to jump all over the place. But I think it's always fun enough that I went with it. And I think it's sort of like he's a pretty hip, cool guy, Bruno Mars. And I think it's pretty hipster to sort of do stuff that's a bit dated now. So maybe they're just like they're in sort of a Sydney Newtown, a sort of like Main Street Santa Monica. Is that the equivalent of Newtown in LA? What's in America? Brooklyn. They're in the Brooklyn sort of area where all this stuff's probably... Oh, shoe shining's back, guys. Like, it's in. You want to get your shoe shine. Yeah, because the shoe shining scene didn't feed into any racial stereotypes. Like, it didn't take you back to the 50s in that sense.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Going to give it a score?
Thoroughly entertaining, funny, good dancing, incredibly catchy song. Can't blame the radio for... Can't blame Bruno Mars for overplaying it. Can't blame Bruno Mars for the radio overplaying it. I think they could have added maybe like a touch more story elements to tie things in, and there wasn't a great payoff at the end, but still very enjoyable. I'll give it a 4 out of 5.
Okay. I really like this. This was my favourite of all of them. I don't want to mislead you into thinking that I think this is a great music video. It's a solid music video. It's a fun one to watch. It didn't blow me away. It was just fun. It didn't tell a great story. It wasn't something that particularly captivated me. It's just a fun thing to watch, and I think it worked quite well. So I give it a 3 out of 5. Yeah. I wrote that down beforehand, just in case. Just in case I'd didn't want to get accused of picking a number to win like it for, yeah. or lose it for the music video that I
very,
you know,
we're very impartial here at Spring Bird. Okay.
I also don't want to give the wrong impression that I'm not all about the hanging out with mates. I'm all about the girl. Like, I think it's a friendship very important to me, and I think it's worth investing in. I think if you want to go out with a girl, like, you know, don't spend all your time with your mates. Ask her out. okay.
Be in it to win it. All right.
I'm going to find
well,
the page.
Well, who is James?
I've read so many notes.
Okay. Taylor Swift, Bad Bloods.
Mm. Got a score of, collective score of 5.5. She passed. That's good for these.
Yeah.
Like,
historically, that's in the running.
Yeah. She's not out of it. Ed Sheeran, 3.5
okay.
out of 10.
Mm, debut for Ed Sheeran, not going to be a winner.
And again.
But
like,
also not the worst score we've ever had.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's not a disaster, like, for us scoring these music videos. This year, I think, slightly tough field, I would say, just in retrospect. Like, this is probably one of their better years. for, what's his face?
Kendrick Lamar. All right.
6.5. This is the problem. We use lined paper this year. It throws me. I want unlined paper for this scoring. 6.5 for Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, that's in the lead.
Mm. A very solid score. Who was the other
Beyonce.
One? Beyonce. I've written the names down next to the numbers, so that was probably an error. Again, I'm blaming the line paper. So, what was that? 1.5.
Okay.
That is a bad score. That's not strong.
1.5 out of 10, that's not strong.
Yeah, you want a clear 3. I think 3, you're not got a disaster. And then, who's Bruno Mars, 7 out of 10 is the winning score.
Narrowly takes it. Bruno,
yeah.
I think he might have possibly been my least favourite the first time he appeared. And he's gone all the way to number one. He's won the 2015 Screen Verdict MTV Video Music Award.
I am thinking now, and you'll have to go back and check, I could be wrong, that it was when I was saying the reason I gave Beyonce the 0.5 was because of the disastrous one from the first year that I wanted to give 0. I think that could have been
Bruno Mars.
I could be wrong about that. My memory could be a bit sketchy. May have never given anyone 0. I don't know. But anyway,
what a turnaround. I'm shocked. Bruno Mars never would have picked it.
I'm putting this on Mark Ronson, to be honest. I am saying he's the real winner. The real person who's helped pick Bruno Mars out of the gutter.
See what he can do sans Ronson in the future. But for now, he's number one.
Which means we're going to now make the official vote for Mark Ronson and Bruno Mars. Let's take this out. Okay, clicking Bruno Mars. I think we've voted.
There you go.
There we go.
It's official.
If it wins, it could be by that one vote we just made.
Yeah, we've received letters from MTV that we have been crucial in the swing votes.
That's so BS because none of our votes have ever won the award. We've lost every year.
Well, look, hit up MTV, say, I'm voting for Bruno Mars, # Screen Verdict Podcast.
Yeah.
And let them know that that's why you're there, and we'll see. I think this is the year. Maybe my memory has not served me correctly, but this, I think, could be the year.
I think this year, I think he's in the running.
Mm.
I think he could win this, or they could win this, there's a lot of people like in this character. I think Ed Sheeran's out. I'd be very surprised if Ed Sheeran won this.
I don't know. I feel like he appeals to middle-aged women. I'm not sure they're the kind of people voting for this.
Yeah, and my sister. He appeals to my sister too. I just don't see it.
I show he's popular.
I don't see that music video. It's no buzz. The other ones have all that buzz attached to them, I think.
Well, there you go. You let us know whether you agree. Hit us up, facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast. What was your favourite music video of the year? I'm sure it was... People rarely disagree with us.
Probably wasn't nominated.
Yeah, well, that's definitely true. Of the nominees.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
Well, as always, great podcast on the MTV Video Music Awards. Love doing it.
Mm.
And love doing podcasts in general. So I'm excited for next week, whatever that may be.
Probably Veep. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
There you go. Mm. Well, stay tuned for that. We'll catch you next week.
Yeah, bye.